think we have enough, yeah.
Okay.
What do you want to say?
All right. So what we want to do is we want to start Siman Pei Zion. Okay.
Everybody enough room here.
Kosuba Torah. Losvashel Gdi Bachalev Imo Sholoshpam. So he tells you that in Sefer Shmos twice and once in Sefer Dvarim. Three times the Torah repeats the Iser of Bishol Basar B'chol. Echad li'isar Bishol, v'echad li'isar Achila, v'echad li'isar Hanoah. If you take a look in the Be'er Agola, he points out that this is a brisa in Chulin Daf Kuftes Vav Amud Beis. Now, the obvious question is, why did the Torah have to tell us not to eat basar b'cholov by saying lo sevashel, don't cook basar b'cholov? Why couldn't the Torah just say it straight away? So that's what the Mechaber adds over here, v'hotzi achila b'loshon bishul. The Torah deliberately chooses the loshon bishul for achila, lomar, to teach us she'eno osim min haTorah, that the isur achila in basar b'cholov only applies ela derech bishul, only if it was a result of Bishol. Aval mir Rabbanan asu b'chol inyan. The Rabbanan asked it even if it wasn't derech Bishol. Fine, we'll talk about that in just a moment. We'll just read the Ramah in his first comment here. And he says, kol basu b'cholav she'eno asu min haTorah mutar b'ano. So when the Rabbanan asked basar b'cholav, they only did so as far as the Iser Achil is concerned, but not as far as the Iser Hanoah. Okay, we'll get back to this Ramah Mirtz Hashem very soon, because there's an entire shach here about that point in the Ramah. But first, before we get to that, let's just talk a little bit about
Pei Zion,
yeah? Let's just talk a little bit about the beginning here of the Mechaber and certain points. One of the issues that the Poskim deal with in terms of the Isra Achila is, what's the shear of Achila? How much do you have to eat of Basar B'cholov in order to be Chayiv Malkus? Ostensibly, one could have argued that you'd have to eat a kezayis of basar and a kezayis of cholov. And that is the sheet of Rav. We don't paskin like Rav, we paskin like Levi. And Levi says if you have a chatzi zayis of cholov together with a chatzi zayis of basar, and you cook them together and you eat the entire combination, that's a full kezayis, then you chayev malchus for achila. What would be if you ate from this mixture, which is real basar b'cholov, you ate only a chatzi zayis? So what would you say about that? That's the principle of what? Chatzi shir. And we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, the chatzi shir, asur min haTorah. So to eat less than a kezayis worth of basar b'cholov would be a violation of an isa d'oraisa, albeit without malchus, and that's called chatzi shir. What about Bishol? In Bishol, you take a chatzi zayis of basar and a chatzi zayis of cholov and you cook it together. So you violate an isa d'oraisa of Bishol and you get malchus for that. But what happens if you mevashel pachos mikizayis? Is that also an isa d'oraisa under the principle of chatzi shir asam haTorah? So this is an issue in the poskim. some poskim say, look, if there's a din of chatzi shir osman Torah in achila, then hu adin in bishul. There should be no difference. And if you cook less than a full shir of a kezayis, then you're chayev min haTorah b'Torah's chatzi shir. However, there are those who want to argue not like that. That although chatzi shir osim in a Torah that's only in achila, but not in bishul, the iser bishul of chatzi shir in the worst case scenario would only be drabon. And ask yourself the following question: Why should chatzi shir osim in a Torah apply to achila and less so to bishul? So let's just ask the question: why is chatzi shir osim in a Torah? The Gemara says in the 8th parak of Yuma, that's because of chazilitz tarufit. You can put together one chatzi shir and then another chatzi shir. Now, logically, you would say the following. In the case of achila, there's chatzi shir and chatzi shir. It's chazilitz tarufe. Chazilitz tarufe is based on halach in achila, universal halach in achila called kidei achilas pras. That means within a certain time period, we can connect one achila with another achila. Ledugma matzah, if I eat chatzi zayis matzah, and I eat the other half of zayis matzah, tokede achilas pras, I was yotze the mitzvah of matzah. And as achila is something that extends over a period of time. That period of time is called tokede achilas pras. But in bishul, there is no such halacha. In bishul, you have to be mevashel together. That which you mevashel biyachad, that's called a ma'isa bishul. There's no din of adding a bishul to a bishul. You know, you cooked one thing, and then you wait a few seconds, and then you cook another thing, and it's all in bishul. The first bishul, bishul A, is not mitzuruf to bishul A, B. And therefore they remain as separate entities. Each bishul is a separate pu'ula, a separate action. So chatzi shir osim in a Torah, if it's based on chazilitz tarufe, that's a unique halach in achila, but it doesn't apply to bishul. And you're tempted to believe, therefore, that chatzi shir in bishul would only be, in the worst case scenario, in Issa d'Rabbanan, because we're afraid if we let you cook a quarter of a kezayis with a quarter of a kezayis, a basam kolav, then tomorrow you'll cook a half a zayis with another half a zayis, and then you'll violate the Issa d'Bishul d'Oraisa.
But the shear is only for the punishment, not for the Issa. When we say chatzi shear,
yeah,
it's only for a question of malchus or chorus or whatever the punishment is. The issur remains no matter how much you do it.
Right, but what kind of issur is it? Is it an issur d'oraisa, an issur d'rabbanan?
An issur d'oraisa, bishul.
Even a chatzi shir?
Why not?
I mean, there is such a shita, but we're suggesting that those who argue would differentiate between achila and bishul. Do you follow? Because in achila, in achila, the Torah asks as a chatzi shir because it's chazi, it's tarufe. Meaning that which you did now and you ate half a zayis can become a real shir. Because if you add another chatzi zayis to your achila within a certain time period, then you have a full kezayis. But in bishul, where each mice of bishul is a separate entity, and there's no possibility of chazilitz tarufe, those who argue that there's no chatzi shir min haTorah in bishul, again, the Rabbanan could ask it, but not min haTorah.
I just have a silly question, Dan. It's just I don't understand. I'm back up. When you're saying chatzi shir, you're talking about basar b'chol, bishul basar b'chol, you're talking about a chatzi shir of basar and a chatzi shir of challah,
right?
Or are you talking that the resultant basar b'challah is less than a shir?
Either way, in other words, if you assume that you need at the end of the day, as a result of this bishul, a full kezayis, it doesn't necessarily have to be that you are mevashel a half a zayis and a half a zayis. You could be mevashel three quarters of a zayis with a quarter of a zayis. What you end up with at the end is a full kezayis.
Yeah, but if you end up with less than
If you end up with less than a kezayis in that bishul, so some would say chatzi shir osim in haTorah applies to bishul, and others would say no, chatzi shir is in bishul is only derabbanan.
Is the shir by a mikvah for the kezayis?
That's a good question. I don't know, we're going to get to that a little bit later on, but I would like to, before we get to that, I wanted to ask you one other question, and that is, what about the Iser of Amir La'akum? Does that apply to Bishul? What do I mean? On Shabbos, you're not allowed to ask a guy to cook for you. So the poskim want to know, and this is already a Mishnah Brura talks about this, is there an Iser Amir Lakum even during the week? What does that mean in during the week? I mean, what's the Iser Bishul during the week? There's no Iser Bishul during the week. But what about Bishul Basa B'cholof? Can I ask a guy to cook Basa B'cholof? And this subdivides into two possibilities. Who owns the Basa B'cholof? Is it the Jew who owns it? Or even if the guy owns it, but you tell him explicitly? So it's fascinating to note that the Mishnah Brura holds that the same Iser of Amir La'akum that applies on Shabbos applies even during the week with regard to Bishul Basar V'Cholof. I didn't know that. Did you know about this? So I have here a sefer called the Bari HaShulchan, and he quotes this Mishnah Brura. It's in Hilchus, it's in Orach Chaim Siman Shin Zayin, and he writes, Also litain li eno Yehudi basar v'chol b'chol v'lomar lo bashel l'cha. Even if he's telling you cook it for yourself, he's not cooking it explicitly for the Jew. But you know, in Amir Lakum there are two levels. There's one level of where the guy does something on behalf of the Jew, and there's another level where you tell the guy to do it even on behalf of himself. That also is included in Amir Lakum. How do the poskim know that Amir La'akum applies even to the case of Bishul Basar V'Cholof? That he has a long discussion about here. If you're interested, I'm just giving you my remarkum, and I'm pointing it out to you because I never knew about such a thing. That Amir La'akum Shavuos applies even during the weekday without any connection to Shabbos. And again, if you want to see the sources for this, you have to know a lot about Kelayim, and whether or not you're allowed to tell a guy to breed two different animals or two different species with an Iser Kelayim, it's an interesting discussion. But let me talk to you for a minute about the Iser Hanoah. What's the shear of the Iser Hanoah? If we're talking about Achila, we're talking about Bishul, then clearly the shear is Kizayis. With regard to Hanoah, I'm not sure if the shear is Kizayis. Do you have Rabbi Kiveger in your Shulchan Aruch? If you take a look in the Hagos of Rabbi Kiveger, oh, you don't have the Chidush. All right, do you have the Pisrei Tshuva then? It's maybe it's easiest even to look in the Pisrei Tshuva. So if you take a look at the Pisrei Tshuva, he has a few comments here. First in Aleph, he has a comment here about the Iser Achila. And what's the deal if you eat it shelo kederech achila? Shelo kederech achila would mean that let's say you eat it when it's very, very hot. You swallow something that's nichva grono, you know, it might even burn his throat. So that's going to be one issue in terms of achila. And then the Pisrei Tshuva in Beis talks about the Iser Hanoah, and he says the following. He says, Shar poskim, this means, except for Kivega, they hold Shaloka al Hanoah, V'eino loka al Hanoah ki'im b'kizayis. Now, let's give a little background here. The Rambam holds that in general, in Isuri Hanoah, there's no Malkus. If a person has Hanoah from Basar B'Cholof, from Klai Kerem, from Chometz B'Peh, whatever the Isuri Hanoah is, there's no Malkus. That's the Rambam Shita, which has to do with how the Rambam understands Isuri Hanoah. But other poskim, and almost all the Rishonim hold, that you get Malkus for the Iser Hanoah. So he wants to know, what's the shear of the Iser Hanoah for Malkus? And he says, Ki'im b'kizayis. That makes sense. So Rabbi Kiveger holds that doesn't make any sense. And he brings a raya from a sugyan bava kama, that shear Hanoah hu b'pruta. In other words, you can have, theoretically, an achila of a kizayis, but it's not called a hanas pruta. You could have, on the other hand, an achila that's less than a kizayis, and it's a hanas pruta. We can evaluate it as being worth a pruta. Again, how you go about evaluating is a more complicated question. And truth be told, when I see this Rebbe Kveger, I'm automatically reminded by sheer association of which Masechta in Shas. Anybody know what I have in mind?
So,
Masechta Kedushin. I'll tell you why Kedushin. Because in Kedushin, you have Kesef, and then you have Shava Kesef. And Shava Kesef includes even Hanah. Yeah. So if a man is Mekadesh and Isha with Hanah, and he says, Ba'Hanah Zu'ak Mekudeshesli, then if that Hanah is Shava Pruta, because that's the shear of Kesef, then she's Mekudeshes. And a similar halach applies now, according to Rebbe Kveger, in the flip side, not in giving Hanah to someone, but in the taking Hanah when it's prohibited. If I'm enjoined from taking Hanah, what is the shear of Hanah? Hanah is not defined by Kizayis. Kizayis halach and achila. Kizayis always defines achila. But when it comes to Hanah, Rebbe Kveger says that the way the Torah evaluates Hanah is in its monetary value. If it's worth a pruta, or if it's not worth a pruta. So that's something here that I found fascinating in Rebbe Kveger. Now, what happens in a case where I violate the Isur Bishul, but only Midrabanan? What does that mean? Let's take the case of Kavush. Kavush is Hareyu Kimavushal. But the Rishonim claim that although kavush is kimavushal, meaning let's say I take a piece of meat and I soak it in milk for 24 hours. Now that's considered like bishul, but only midrabanan. When the Torah prohibits bishul, it means cooking, which means you took the meat in the milk and you turned the fire on underneath and it was cooking. In fact, even sli, which means that you heat up the basar with the chalav together, gvina and basar, without a medium of liquid, or tigun, even that might not be considered bishul as far as the Torah violation of bishul.
Microwave,
I don't know what the status is. Maybe it's not even bishul d'rabbanan, I don't know. But it's certainly not bishul d'oraisa. Bishul d'oraisa requires derech bishul asra Torah. And the fascinating thing is that when we're dealing with bishul, we're not just dealing with bishul, we're dealing with bishul, achila, and hanah. Because the Torah uses the language of Bishul, as we saw in the Mechaber, to teach us that Derech Bishul Asra Torah. So whatever doesn't constitute Derech Bishul, as far as the Torah is concerned, does not engender neither an Isur Bishul, nor an Isur Achil, nor an Isur Anah. It's a package deal. It's a domino theory. In that case, if Kavush is not Kimavushal Midoraisa, then as a result of soaking milk and meat and milk, all you can get is, in the worst case scenario, is an Isur d'Rabbanan. Now let's say he takes this mixture, a piece of meat that was soaking in milk for 24 hours, and now he cooks it, literally cooks it. Would he violate now an Isur d'Oraisa? Normally we have a principle called Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. But in this case, there was no bishul to begin with, because the Torah doesn't recognize kavush, soaking is bishul. So the first bishul that was done on this chalav and basar was the bishul that he did subsequent to the kavush, and therefore he violates an isur d'oraisa. Now what happens is he's created something that is upgraded from an isur d'rabbanan through kavush to an isur d'oraisa through bishul. And this is all written up here in the Gilyon Marsha. Again, I don't know if you have the Gilyon Marsha. I have this very fancy Shulchan Aruch that I got from my son. It's called Friedman. It's mamish, the kitchen sink. You know, they put everything in here. And when I say the kitchen sink, I mean it literally, but in this case, a treifas sink, because you're not going to put basar
b'chol. The rice even without the cover?
What happened? Just to describe the scenario. What did he do? Did he soak the meat in milk?
Let's assume he didn't.
So what happened? He's got meat and milk separated, and what did he do with it? Oh, so that's the d'oraisa bishul. What I was telling you as a chiddush is that even though kavush kimavushal, so it's already been soaked in milk for 24 hours, he can still violate the isur d'oraisa bishul on that very same mixture.
By doing what?
By cooking it.
How?
He has this mixture. He's got meat and milk.
No,
and now he puts a fire under the pot.
Yeah.
Again, for 24 hours, the meat was soaking in a pot with milk.
If there's milk on that meat, then you're absolutely right, obviously. Let's say you took the, it's sitting there for 24 hours, yeah, and you washed all the milk off of it.
Oh, so that has to.
Is it a chatita nasis the veil?
Right, I don't know. That's futuristic for us. But I'm just giving you a simple scenario. You're always asking me the more complicated.
No, that's the case.
But let's take the regular case. Let's say I soak meat and milk together for 24 hours. Now I turn the fire on under the pot.
Of course.
If you violated already the Iser of Kavush Kimavushal, then why not activate the principle of Ein Bishal Achar Bishal? Your second Bishal did not add anything. So the answer is, the first Bishal was only what? It was only Terabbanan. That's what I think the Gilyan Marsha is saying over here.
You want to read it?
Right? Let's read it inside if we can. He says, he has a different case now, and then we'll get to the case of Kavush. The Gam Cholav Mevushal. So he took cooked meat that was cooked separately, and he cooked milk, and now he puts them together. Fine. Now, where's the case that I told you? Maybe it's not in the Marsha. Just one second. Oh, that's in the Iser Veheter, which I think is quoted by. Okay, I'll find that Fibli Neder in a few minutes, but. Here, I'll quote it to you from the Bari HaShulchan in the meantime until we find it. How do you find the lighting in here? It's not great.
Terrible.
Yeah, so I apologize for that. We have to solve some of the electric problems here. He says the following. Kosav ba'agos iser v'het ezeh l'shono. Chaticha shenich b'sha b'cholav. So the meat was soaking in milk. Osur levashla. He's not allowed to cook it. The ad kan havi bishul be iser kovishu d'rabbonon. But v'yata, now that he cooks this mixture, over al iser bishul da'oraisa. V'huva v'rab kiveg. That's what he writes. So I don't know, you know, until I find it in Reb Ki Vega, we'll waste that precious time. So we'll quote it from
but that. That's not probably in a physiological sense. Because maybe in the Bishar HaBishar means in a physical sense that it's no such concept. But here you're talking about because of the Isra is escalated.
Right.
That it's
escalated because there was never a Bishal done as far as the Torah is concerned. The Torah doesn't recognize the status of Kavush as Mevushal.
It's actually not possible.
The fourth line is
Reb Ki Vega. Oh, you found the Reb Ki Vega? Okay, good. Great. So your lining is better than mine, or maybe your text is bigger than mine. Or maybe your eyes are better than mine. Any of the above. All right. But mostly, let's read the Shach. Because here, there's a brilliant insight of Reb Ki Vega to the Shach. You remember that if there was no Derech Bishol, for example, the case of Kovush that we gave, it's only Asur min Rabbanon. And the Ramah adds that Basar B'chol D'Rabbanon is only Asur B'Achila, but it's Mutar B'Hanah. So the Shach says, Kol Basar B'chol of Mutar B'Hanah, if it's only D'Rabbanon, and the source for this is the Tur, but it's also found in the Iser V'Heter, and the Mechaber codifies this in Sif Gimel. Basar of b'cholav. Oh, so until now we've been talking about kavush, but let's talk about what constitutes basar. The Torah says that a behemah is considered basar. That's the extension of gedi, but of is not considered basar. That itself is machlokas tanoim. But we paskin that of is not basar. That's like Rabbi Kiva, like Rabbi Yosef Glili. So now, if I cook milk, if I cook chicken with milk, what I'm left with is an Iser Basar B'chol D'Rabbanan. And now I'm allowed to feed that to my dog because it's Mutar B'Hanah. And that he says outright, he says, Basar Of B'chol Shein Asav Achila B'Rabbanan, Mutar B'Hanah Afilu B'Rabbanan. And then he gives a whole long list of who's who in the poskim who agree with this. The Ra'ah agrees with this, and the Rambam agrees with this in Perek Tes Milchus Machol Sasuros.
Why would anybody disagree with it?
Oh, so let's see the Shach. And then we'll hopefully be able to answer your question. V'chein bir dvar v'pirush ha-mishnayis v'perikol ha-basar v'chein pirush ha-magid mishnah v'chein dirush marshal. Right, usually the marshal is quoted in the Yom Shoshon because he disagrees with everyone. Sure. It's one of those rare occasions where they quote the marshal kavyachol, even the marshal agrees with this. V'lo kamo shekosav ha-bach. The Bach reinterprets the Rambam. The Bach is not willing to tolerate that you can have an Isra Achila, even if it's the Rabbanon, without an Isra Hana. It's a package deal. There's no such thing as Achila without Hana. That's the Bach's approach. And he says that when the Rambam mentions the Isra Achila of Basar Ov Bechol Mid Rabbanon, you have to interpret the Rambam as including within it, not just in the limited sense, the Isra Achila, but you have to expand it to include even an Isra Hana, which means that Mirabbanan, I can't take this chicken that I cook with milk and feed it to my dog. And he goes on to say that he has a Mardechai who says, like all the poskim, and the Mardechai is in Avodah Zarah, we'll soon see in what context, and that Mardechai brings a raya that Basa B'chol of Dirabbanan, for example, Kavush, is only Asa B'chila and not Bahana. So here in the Shach, he doesn't spell out the raya of the Mardechai. But if you take a look in Rabbi Kiveger, he says, Ayin Shom, look in the Mardechai, Shehevi raya, Mehod Amrit B'avod Zor Lamed Heyamid Beis, If they ma osru gvinos akum, we don't eat cheeses that was sold by the goyim, correct? And why? The Gemara says, "If they ma," Rabbi Kivega v'chein kasav haMardechai. How goes Rabbi Kivega? He says the Gemara establishes that the reason for the isur gvinos akum is mipnei shema midin osan biar kevas nevela. So they take a nevela, and they take the keva, and the keva, the stomach, has a certain chemical substance called, I think it's called rennet. Rennet, that's how I know it. And they soak the milk in the rennet, and then it becomes cheese. Oh. So the Mardechai asks the following question. The Gemara says that Gvinas Akum is Osir Bachil. In fact, the Mardechai, I don't understand. If we have a case here of basa b'cholov, right, the milk is soaking in the meat in this nevela, then it should be also not only b'achila, but even b'ana. That means if you want to take, let's say you want to take a job, you know, in a factory that produces cheese, and you're a religious Jew, you can't do so. Why? Because it's basa b'cholov. Says the Mardechai, from the fact that Gvinas Akum is only Osir b'achila, not b'hana, we conclude that basa b'cholov d'rabbanan, this is the case of Kavush, would not engender an Isur Hana. Beautiful proof for the Mardechai. Says Rabbi Kivega, I don't know what the man is batting about. Now keep in mind, Rabbi Kivega is about 8 centuries or 7 centuries after the Mardechai. But he literally smashes him to smithereens. He asks the following question. He says, the Mardechai is asking, why isn't there an Isur Hana in Gvinas Akum? He should have asked a more fundamental question. The Gemara says that Gvinas Akum is Osir because it's made in Behemoth Nevela. Nevela, I mean, obviously the guy has Nevela, he doesn't have Shkuta. He says, forget about it. What happens if you are mamid in an R kevas kshera? Yeah. That also should be osur because of basa b'cholov. Meaning, if the Isur Gvinas Akum is a case of basa b'cholov d'rabbanan, and from that the Mardechai derives that basa b'cholov d'rabbanan is osur b'achil but not b'ana, then why are you talking about nevela? This should be an Isur that applies even to b'ema kshera. He says, kasha, The reason for this isur of buying cheese from a guy is because they use nevela. Hagambi or keva kshera havi basa b'cholov. V'chein hikshu b'taisvis v'tirtzu kevan dehavi rak basa b'cholov dirabbanon lo chayshinen l'sfeika. Meaning we're not absolutely sure that he used the guy used that method to make the cheese. There are other methods of making the cheese, and he didn't have to use a keva. That makes it a sulfate. The Rabbanan asked it a sulfate only because of an Issa Doraisa of Nevela. But if there's no Issa Doraisa Nevela, it's only Basav Chav through Kavush, which in the worst case is only the Rabbanan. Lo Chayshinan L'Sfeik. Then he gives another explanation why there's no Basa B'cholov in the case of making Gvina. And he says the following. He says, Shema Yesh Shishim B'cholov K'neged HaNevela, K'neged HaBasa. He says that there may be 60 times, you know, the volume of milk is 60 times that of the meat, and therefore it's bottle. It's a Davar Mamin, a Davar Matos bottle. That's only an Issa D'Rabbanan, the Rabbanan were not choshish for that in this case. In any event, just to summarize what we saw here, the Mordechai proves from the din of Gvinas Akum that Basav Chav D'Rabbanan is Asur Achila, but not Behana. Rabbi Kivega says, no, the case of Gvinas Akum is not Basav Chav at all. The name of the game, the name of the Issa is Nevela. Otherwise, Ein ma'midin bekeva shel kshera, and that we didn't say. The whole reason that the Gemara gives for Gvinas Akum is because of an Avela. Why not Basav B'cholov? Says Rabbi Kivega, you see clearly that the Issa of Gvinas Akum is not based on Basav B'cholov. Therefore, now you're going to prove from the fact that Gvinas Akum is mutar b'hanah, that in Basav B'cholov to Rabbanan there's no Issa b'hanah. How can you prove that when the case is not a case of Basav B'cholov at all? Very sharp, Rabbi Kivega.
Says it befeish cholav hanimsa bekeva, ain't no cholav.
Where is that?
Halachates
in
your grandma's party.
Oh, in the Yosef Tess, you mean?
Nimsa.
So I don't know.
Nimsa bekeva, ain't no cholav. Umutta levasha bo baser, afilu besogel.
Yeah, so that's not a case of cholav, that's cholav in the keva. We're talking about cholav in the udders, you know. I don't know what the din of cholav in the keva is, that I don't know.
Cholav in the udders comes from,
in other words,
cholav.
Correct, but I'm just saying that the Easter is only because of what? Of Nevela, not because.
In Seif Tess and Yud, they mark their making.
All right, Mitz Hashem, we'll see what cholav keva is all about. I wanted to make a few more points. What time is it? We still have a few minutes?
Yeah.
Okay.
10 minutes.
Good. Maybe we could open a window here if you like. Okay. Now, what do you do with Basav B'cholov that's Asur B'hanah? So in Isuri Anah, generally speaking, we have two categories. We have something called Nikbarim, and we have something called Nisrafim. And the poskim deal with this case, what should you do with Basav B'cholov? Number one, you shouldn't be throwing it out because maybe somebody will find it. He won't realize it's Basav B'cholov. And therefore, the poskim advocate that you bury it or you destroy it, you know, flush it down the toilet. Yashlichol beis hakiseh linor, because b'chol elu lo yavo lehenos, nobody's going to come to enjoy it. He says, aval l'sarfo ein rashoy. Even though classically, Isuri Anah, Ton Sreifa, you have to burn them, like Nosar, that's the classical case. He says, Avalisorfo, Ein Rasha, you can't burn it. Why? The Shema Yavo, maybe he'll come, Lehenos, to benefit from it through the Sreifa. And he says, and even if he converts it to Efer, to ashes, the halacha is that he's not allowed to benefit from the ashes. Kidin Osam Dvarim, Sheteunim Sreifa, the Kaimelon, the Ofran Mutar Bana, but Kamech and Nasas Mitzvahs of Pokamine, Aval Nikbarim, Ofran Osam. Okay, fine. So here's a discussion about the Afer of Basav B'cholov Shenisraf. What's the status of the Afer? Okay, that's number one. All right, he has a long discussion here about the status of Kli Rishon. Is that considered Bishul as far as Basa B'Cholov is concerned? And in Kli Rishon, we have two different cases. One case of Kli Rishon means that you turned on the fire under this pot, and then you remove the fire from the pot. That's called Kli Rishon Shehusar Me'al Gabi Ha'esh. And then you have a case of Kli Rishon Shelo Husar Me'al Gabi Ha'esh. That's Bishul Mamish. But Kli Rishon Shehusar Me'al Gabi Ha'esh, even if the water, the liquid is very hot, which in Shabbos would constitute Bishul, it seems that the post can vacillate whether that's called Bishul in Basa B'Chol.
Even it's
Rotchim, because it might not be Derech Bishul.
Alaish.
Yeah. She'eviro Menaish. Only if Eviro Menaish. Okay.
So Klisheni for sure.
And a Klisheni for sure is only Derabbanon if it's very hot. And that's no different than Kovush. Okay, fine. He has long discussions here about what constitutes Derech Bishul. Okay. Now, I want to talk to you about this Ramah. Ramah says that Kol Sheino Asur Min HaTorah is Mutar V'Hana. And we saw the whole discussion here about the Mardechai with Rabbi Kiveg. Now, it would seem to me, and tell me if you agree with me, that the conclusion you could derive here from this Rambam, which again, it's not just the Rambam, is that the Issa D'Rabbanon of Basa B'Cholov is fundamentally different than the Issa D'Oraisa of Basa B'Cholov. Meaning, in the Issa D'Oraisa of Basa B'Cholov, we cannot differentiate between the Issa Achil and the Issa Anor, and yet, in the Issa D'Rabbanon, we're saying that it's only Asur B'Achil and not B'Anor. And that would be, in my mind, the Dover HaTema, because Kol D'Tikun D'Rabbanon came D'Oraisa Tikun. Usually what the Rabbanon do is they extend the Din D'Oraisa and they create Min Rabbanon something like the D'Oraisa. In this case, the Rambam is saying that there is a fundamental difference between Bishul Basa B'Cholov D'Oraisa and Basa B'Cholov D'Rabbanon, the first being Asur B'Achila and Hanah, the second is Mutar B'Hanah. What do we include under Basa B'Cholov D'Rabbanon? As we discussed before, we have the case where there's no Bishul, no Derech Bishul, and now we have the case of Basar Oph. Because Basar Oph is only D'Rabbanon. The Pischei Tshuva in number Dalid has an interesting shaila about Basa B'Cholov. The case was, and I mentioned here in the Kolel, that you took chema, you took butter, and you cooked the butter in a fleshika pot. And the Pischei Tshuva number Dalid wants to know, can you take this butter, this cooked butter that's now like an oil, and use it to light up your house? And he wants to say that since the kedera of basar that he cooked the butter in was a bas yoma, it was used for meat that very same day, therefore you create basar b'chol of d'oraisa, and basar b'chol of d'oraisa is also b'ano. Even though, as we said before, basar b'chol of d'rabbanon is mutar b'ano, but this is the case of basar b'chol of d'oraisa. And then he asks the question, can he use the butter for Ner Chanukah? Because even though you're not allowed to have Hanah from the Basa B'Cholov, of course it's D'Oraisa, but nevertheless, with regard to mitzvahs, we have a principle of mitzvahs lav lehenos nitnu. And he quotes the poskim in Hilchas Chanukah, in our Chaim Siman Tofrei Shayin Gimel, that say that you're not allowed to use this chema for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Why not? Says halach in a chefta shel mitzvah called a shir. A shir means that you need a substance for a chefta shel mitzvah. And the Gemara establishes in the third parak of Sukkah a principle called isuri hana kituse mechta shira. It means it's as if it's gone. If you have, for example, a lulav or an esrog that's aser b'hana, let's say an esrog shel orla, then you can't use the esrog for the mitzvah of lulav, even though mitzvah is lav lehenus. So l'chor, you're not violating the isra no. Fine, you're not violating the isra no, but the esrog is possible. Why is the esrog possible? Because since the esrog is the isra no, we have a principle called kitusei mech the shiura. It doesn't have a shear. It's like considered like null and void. So the poskim in Hilchas Chanukah want to claim that even if Mitzvah Lenos knew, okay, you solved the problem of the violation of the Isra Noah, but you didn't solve a more fundamental problem, and that is Kitusei Mechtes Shi'ura. So if you take a look in the Pisrei Tshuva number Dalid, he quotes a Prima Gadim, and the Prima Gadim is of the opinion that you cannot use this for Ner Chanukah because of Kitusei Mechtes Shi'ura. The Eliyahu Rabbah asks a more fundamental question. He says, forget about Kitusei Mechtes Shi'ura. The very act of lighting the chema, this butter, is itself an act of bishul. So he wants to suggest that here the principle is Ein Bishul, Acher Bishul. You remember this?
Yeah, I do. But it's something that I didn't understand then, I still don't understand now. You can't even say chasi shiur awesome of your raisa, because there's no shiur at all. We're just talking about tom. If you're talking about that it was cooked in a fleshic pot, in a pot that was used, and it's a ben yomo. But there's no actual baser. There was no baser l'chatchila.
So how do you create a bishul baser b'cholav if it's only tom without be'en?
Right.
Tom kika.
So that's... That you have to know a little bit more about Tipas Cholav, you know. What else? Sif Beis. We still have time? What time is it? Okay, we still have a few more minutes.
Rabbi, do you think that the reason why, you know, Yisra Rabbonah was the Cholav, is not Yisra Anah, is because the whole immune of the Rabbonah, of course, is a Gzera. So in a sense, if you're going to allow Bishul, then you might come to eat it. But if by Anoa already, it's like Kim'at, because it's a derivation. So since a derivation, maybe it's something like the Rabbonah.
Like Xeril. So, could be, I don't know. Would you be allowed to feed Basav Cholav to someone else's dog? It's not your dog. So the poskim quote a Yushalmi in Chametz. Yushalmi says in Chametz that you can't feed Chametz to even Behemas Hefker. So I think the lumbus here, and this I may have heard from my Rebbe, is that there are two ways of defining the Iser Hanah. One way is to say that I get Hanah if it's my animal and I would have had to feed the animal and now the animal ate Chametz or Basav Cholav, then I benefit from it. There's another way of interpreting the Isra HaNoah, and that is that the Torah says that the chametz should not be eaten. And it lo ye ochel, the Torah says. It doesn't say lo yochal, but lo ye ochel. And that includes... Oh, they got the lights on? What was... No, right in there. How did they get the lights on? I don't know. Okay. Guys, we didn't have to suffer through this, it seems. But
why did you say the Hanoah was that during Pesach you have to get rid of the chametz, and by feeding it to the behemah with equal, that you have the Hanoah of getting rid of the chametz without having to go through?
Yeah, but I don't know if that's a violation of the Hanoah. He writes here, "V'yushalmi yolif lo kein le'inyan chametz v'pesach she'osel achilu af lebeimus hefker." Midichsiv gabi chametz lo ye ochel betzere lo ye ochel chametz svile lahanach poskim dehu adin b'shari suri hana, which means even basav cholav you can't feed it to a dog even if you don't own the dog, not because you're getting pleasure by watching the dog eat it, but simply as a separate halach of lo ye ochel, and that's the way hana works. Then he quotes other poskim who say Yesh lahachmir, because yesh lo hanah mashem emalei ritzono lasbia behema. Even if it's not his behema, he gets pleasure from the fact that the behema is now satiated, and that he says yesh lahachmir b'din zeh. We lemaisa we machmir on the one of two reasons: either because of the lo yeachel svara, or because he gets some sort of benefit from the fact that he's feeding this. That lo yachil by chametz is a paradigm for all isuri hanah. How you derive all isuri hanah from chametz, I don't know. And once you're on this topic, Sammy, I just want to add one point. In chametz, the halach is you're not allowed to keep chametz on your table. Which means that you have to check through Chorin and Stockin and get rid of the chametz. Your house has to be chametz free. Is there a similar halacha in Basar B'Cholov? Am I allowed to keep Basar B'Cholov on my table? So later on we're going to see that there's another Issur D'Rabbanan in Basar B'Cholov called Halah al HaShulchan. But I found something unbelievably in the poskim, which Ebeli Neder, if you remind me next time, we get into this. They want to know if there's a din of bidika to look for Basar B'Cholov and get rid of it. And I don't know what the mitzias is, because in chametz itself, you're not always chayiv in bidika. The Mishnah establishes only a makom shemachnisim bo chametz is chayiv in bidika. So what is the parallel in Basar B'Cholov? Is there something called a makom shemachnisim bo Basar B'Cholov? So if you want to tell me I'm not allowed to have Basar B'Cholov on my table, that I can understand. But to say that if I have Basar B'Cholov anywhere in my vicinity, I got to seek and find and destroy, search and destroy. What's the basis for that? Right, there's no Balyor Bayimotze. And Fakeret, Tosis says at the beginning of Pesachim, the reason why we're so machmir and chametz, that we have to be bodik the house and get rid of all the chametz, is because since the Torah was machmir with Balyor Bayimotze, we have to be machmir with Bedika. And the Rabbanan went even further. But that doesn't apply to Basar B'Cholov. But you know what? Now I just reminded myself. Tosis actually gives another explanation. Tosis says, "Lo bedili minei inshi," and it could be that Basar B'Cholov might be lo bedili minei inshi. I don't know, because since the basar is mutter and the cholov is mutter, so the whole year round you're eating each one. Maybe the combination thereof is also lo bedili minei inshi. I don't know. I'm just throwing out a possibility. Right. Since he had Basar B'Cholov the whole year, so therefore it's Bedili Minei Inshi. It's the same Chefti Nisura, whereas Chometz is a Chefti Neteira the whole year, and then it becomes a Chefti Nisura, is therefore we were Machmir to be Bodik. So bottom line, Rabbi Osef, if you find any poskim who tell you that you have to search and find all your Basar B'Cholov and get rid of it, ask them what the basis for that is, because that certainly eludes me. Okay, Rabbi Osef.
The chicken.
Yeah.
That doesn't apply to cooking anymore.
Of what? Of say it one more time? What doesn't apply? Bishul?
Bishul of B'Cholov.
Bishul of B'Cholov. That's gonna be an interesting question, because we said that the Issur D'Rabbanan is mutar b'hanah. We never said it's mutar b'bishul. So that's the question. Is hanah and bishul the same package deal?